This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
Before I start, I want to jump in with a prayer. So can we all just close our eyes real quick as I pray? Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you've done. This year has been a great year for some of us. It has been a tough year for others. But Lord, regardless of our perception, we thank you because we can find commonality, God, in the fact that we all need you. We all need a safe place this morning, Lord. So we pray, God, in confidence that we would abide in your safe place, God, that we would be covered, God, and we would be protected in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, we are going to continue our series this summer called Summer in Psalms. That's so catchy, Summer in Psalms. I was trying to pick out a good psalm, and I got to tell you guys that it was so difficult because there's like 150 psalms, okay? Literally, there's 150 psalms, all right? It's kind of like, yeah, I've ever been to a restaurant, and when you go to the restaurant, you just cannot decide what you want to eat because there's too many options on the menu, all right? That's how I felt when I was trying to pick out this psalm. But regardless of that, you know, I prayed and just was kind of like leaning into God to kind of lead where he wanted me to speak from today. And I felt the tug on my heart to speak from Psalms chapter 91. It's a pretty well-known Psalms, but it never ceases to amaze me on how relevant the Word of God is. From the time that it was written thousands of years ago to even now, we find that the words of God are still relevant to our life. But before I jump in, I want everybody to say this with me. I am safe in the secret place. One more time. I am safe in the secret place. Good. So today my topic is safe in the secret place. Safe in the secret place. So we will get started and we are going to do something just a little bit different. Normally I would read in your hearing, but today I want you all to read this scripture with me. And when you read this psalm with me, I want you to believe what you're saying as you're reading this psalm. So we're going to read Psalms 91. There's about 16 verses, but that's okay. I'll tell you guys why I want you to read it a little bit later on. The scripture will be on the screen. So Psalms chapter 91, we'll be reading from the NIV version. And I want everybody to loudly read this with all the ebullience inside you. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Whoever dwells in the shelter, secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear for the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Come on, can we say amen for the word of God this morning? Now, for the sake of my sermon title, I want you guys to know that most translations say the secret place. He who are whosoever dwells in the secret place. So now you guys know that the reason why we are saying the secret place is the first verse says that whosoever dwells in the shelter or the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am safe in the secret place. I am safe in the shelter of the Most High. I am safe in the secret place. Today I had us all read this scripture together. The reason why I had us read this scripture together is because I wanted us to have a chance to feel like what it was like back in the day when these Hebrews would recite this psalm. So back in the day, these Hebrews would not just read this text. They would recite this psalms not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven times. They would recite this psalms, and as they would recite this psalm, each time it is said that it would build their faith. Their faith grew stronger and stronger each time they recited this psalm. And so the Hebrews back in the day when this psalm was written would recite this text not only as a declaration, but as a prayer. This psalm is a prayer. It is a prayer of protection. It is a prayer that was done collectively, and it was a prayer that was done individually. It is a prayer of promise. It's a prayer that of trust. It's a prayer of blessing. Now, we aren't quite sure who wrote this psalm, whether it be David or whether it was Moses. Normally, it's saying the title. Normally, it's say this is a song of David, or this is a psalm of Korah. But this doesn't say who wrote this. And so there's speculation on whether David wrote it or Moses wrote it, because there's some writings in here that are characteristics of both men of God. But regardless of who wrote this psalm, this is a psalm that is for everybody. Can we agree with that? Yeah. Amen. So today we're going to talk about this psalm and how it's applicable to us. So I want to go through the Psalm 91 breakdown. I have a breakdown here for you. So when you guys have some study time, you can understand. So I kind of simply broke this down real quick. Verses 1 through 8 really talk about the proclamation of the Lord. Verses 9 through 13 really emphasize the protection of the Lord. And verses 14 through 16 really declare the promises of the Lord. Today, I want us to understand that there are a plethora of things that God has for us. But unless we read his scriptures, we'll never know, right? Today, my first point is he is our refuge. Somebody say, he is my refuge. Good. He is my refuge. Today, I want to talk about the fact that God is our refuge. In verse 1, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In verse 1, it's so interesting because in the King James Version, it says he. But, you know, that would almost exclude women because it was only talking about men, that's what we would assume. But when you go into the text and find out the real translation, it's whosoever. And so we find that God has given us a tent to not just men, but to men and women. That whosoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So this promise applies to whosoever. Everybody say whosoever. Good. Whosoever. Now, what is the secret place? Well, the secret place is the presence of God. It is the holy presence of God. This is the shelter of God. You are safe in the presence of God. You find peace in the presence of God. You find joy in the presence of God. You find protection in the presence of God. But Pastor K, how do we dwell in the secret place? Well, we dwell in the secret place through praise, worship, and prayer. It was so funny that Pastor Chris came up here and talked about how he felt led to just praise God this week. Because what it was a confirmation to me that God wants us to talk about praise this morning. He wants to talk about worship this morning. He wants to talk about prayer this morning. And so today I want us to observe a few things within this scripture in the first two verses. He says that they that dwell, can you put that scripture back on the screen? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, it's so important for us not to skip over certain words in this scripture, because there's an importance of the shadow. Well, when you look at your shadow, it is near to you, right? But within your shadow, you can only see the shadow based on light, the reflection of light, correct? Now, the only way that we find ourselves in the shadow of the Almighty, the only way that somebody can stand in your shadow is if they're what? Close to you. Now, God is telling us that he wants us to be near him. And some of us don't understand that. That not only do we have a longing for God, but God has a longing for us. He longs for us to be near him. And so he talks about dwelling within his shadow. What does a shadow represent? It represents nearness. It represents closeness. Now, in these first two verses, it talks about these titles of God. There are four titles of God. It says the Most High, which is translated Elyon. It calls him the Almighty, which is translated Shaddai. It calls him the Lord, which is translated Yahweh. It calls him my God, which is translated Elohe. Now, what's the importance of these, Pastor K? Why are you telling us the different meanings of these titles of God? Well, it's to speak to the fact that God not only sees you as you don't only see God as a father, but God exists in these four titles just for you in this specific psalm. He wants to show you that he's mighty. He wants to show you that he is your Lord. He is your Savior. He's Yahweh. He wants to show you that he is your God. He is Elohe. He wants to show you that he is the Most High. He is the highest of highs. He is Elyon. See, when you're near God, if you're dwelling with the Most High, if he's the highest of highs, there's nothing that can harm you when you're that high with God. So there are certain things that God is trying to reveal to us within this psalm. He says that he's a refuge for us. He's my refuge and my fortress. What is a refuge? A shelter, according to the dictionary, is a shelter or a protection from pursuit. It's protection from trouble or distress, a place that provides shelter of protection. The second thing he says that he is our fortress. What is a fortress? It's a fortified place, a permanent structure that is built for protection, usually at a castle. Usually on our military bases, those are considered forts. So we call them forts. Sumter, we call them fort, whatever it may be, because those are fortified military bases. These are strongholds. So God is saying, not only is he your refuge, but he's your stronghold. He'll protect you from outside enemies. The last part of that first two verses says, I will trust in him. There's a correlation between dwelling in him and trusting in him. It says at the end that I will trust in him. But at the very beginning of the verse, it says that I will dwell in him. So what's the correlation, Pastor K? Well, the correlation is you cannot trust in him unless you dwell in him. I don't understand. What do you mean? Well, what I'm trying to say to you is you cannot trust something you've never experienced. You cannot trust something you've never been recommended to. You cannot go ahead and trust something that you have no idea what it is, who they are, what they mean to you. You can't just trust a random person if you've never been around them. You've never had a conversation with them. You never had any relationship with them. You don't know what they're like outside of church. You never had lunch with them. How can you trust this person? You never built a relationship with them. But if you dwell within Christ, if you live in relationship with God, you can develop trust. And some of us have trust issues, y'all. But can I tell you, when you dwell in the secret place, man, your trust issues start to go away. Point number two this morning, he is our rescuer. When I was 14 years old, we had this place in Florida called Rapids Water Park. And I'm going to tell you guys this, I am not a great swimmer. I can swim. And I don't go deeper than 6 feet. I am 6'4", y'all. All right. We had this place called, I can't float. I can't tread water either. All right. But anyway, there's this place called Rapids Water Park. And at this water park, I was so excited, man. It was summer. It was hot. Almost as hot as here right now, man. But 99 degrees, man. That is crazy. All right. Anyways, it was very hot and it was the summer. All my friends were there and we were so excited. We were going on all the rides. We went through the lazy river. I went to the wave pool. I went to the kiddie pool. I went to all the shallow slides, you know, when you come off, the water isn't too deep, you know, as soon as you come off, you kind of landing on your butt, you know what I'm saying? It was good. It was good. I enjoyed my time, but there was these really big water slides, and these water slides had a deep dive after it dropped. Like, the drop-off was deep, all right? When I say deep, anything above 6 feet is deep. All right, so we were there, and there was this one slide that everybody was going on. It was like, yo, Kareem, you gotta go on this slide. I'm like, I gotta go on this slide. How deep is it? It's 7 feet. Oh, man, that's deep. And I was thinking, but, you know, my friends, you know, macho guys, whatever, you know, they were like, come on, don't be a chicken, don't be a punk, come on, go ahead, do it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this, you know, so I'm really mustering up all the confidence that I can, even though I was so stupid. I don't want to look like a wimp or anything like that, so I told myself, I say, look, talking to myself, I'm giving myself a pep talk, and I said, Kareem, if you die today, at least you died as a man. You died with confidence. You went out like a champ. And they can say this at your funeral, man, that you took life head on, you know? And, man, I had to tell you, I was like, all right. And I mustered up the strength to do it. I got on the ride, and I went down this slide. And as I'm going down this slide, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, please, 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 Lord, if I die, forgive me of all my sins. And finally, splash, you know, I get in, I go underneath, and immediately I start to freak out. I am going crazy. I'm losing my mind because this water is 7 foot deep, and at that time I was only 6'1", and so I was like, I was drowning, y'all. This is crazy, right? I'm drowning. I'm losing my mind. I'm freaking out. Mind you, the water's only 7 feet, all right? And I'm going crazy, and somebody's calling for the lifeguard. The lifeguard is coming rushing in like Baywatch, you know, with that red saver thing, whatever you call it, and you know, it's like I could see the water, and they jump in to come rescue me, and I'm not thinking to myself, you know, just push yourself off the bottom of the floor, you know, I'm not thinking like, relax, be calm, be cool, you know, you'll come back up. I'm not thinking that. Why am I not thinking that? Because I'm not trusting in the fact that there's somebody there that would always help me. I'm not remembering that I should just remain calm. I'm not in my right state of mind. Why am I not in my right state of mind? Because in this moment, I have no control. Some of us are in a situation where we have no control, and we are flopping and flailing, and we are losing our minds. We are going crazy. We're drowning in the sea of life, and we don't know what to do, and we need a lifesaver. But can I tell you that that lifeguard came and rescued me? Rescued me. Even though the situation may not have been as bad to some of y'all that know how to swim. But in poor Pastor Case circumstance, I was about to lose my life. But can I tell you guys that we serve a God that will rescue you even when you're drowning in the waters of life. We serve a God that will rescue you even when you're drowning in the waters of life. In verse 3, I want us to take notice of something. Pull that up, please. He says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Woo, hold on, y'all. It's about to get good. I want us to take notice that God doesn't stop the snare. Nor does he let the snare succeed. He says, I will deliver you from the snare. I will get you out. A snare is a trap. Okay, what's a fowler? A fowler is a trapper who specializes in setting up traps to catch birds who fly in the air. Y'all gonna get this, hold on. The fowler wants to trap you, to bring you down, to stop you from flying. He has to bring you down to his level. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how good of a job you have. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how prosperous or wealthy you are. It doesn't matter who you're from or where you're from. This trap awaits every single person, and you are meant to fly. But some of us can't fly because we're trapped by the fowler. We're trapped by the fowler. But God says, while you're trapped, don't be worried. While you are trapped, do not be worried, because I'm going to deliver you from the trap of the enemy. You're coming out of that trap. It may be a trap of sickness. It may be a trap of pain. It may be hard to eat. It may be hard to sleep. It may be hard to rest. It may be hard because you have depression. It may be hard because you have anxiety. It may be hard because all the things in life are coming at you all at once. But can I encourage you this morning that God is going to deliver you? We're trapped by the fowler. But you're God's. Remember that. You are his. And you're not meant to be trapped. You're not meant to be trapped by the enemy. You're not meant to be trapped by the fowler. Because surely God will deliver you out of his trap. He will deliver you from what? The deadly pestilence. Woo, here we go, y'all. He will deliver you from the pestilence. A pestilence is an annoying, nasty, disruptive epidemic. A pestilence is an annoying, nasty, disruptive pandemic. A pestilence is a disruptive, nasty, annoying style disease. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? He shall deliver you from the pestilence. He shall, somebody say, he shall deliver me from the pestilence. He shall deliver me from what has infected me. He shall deliver me from my disease. He shall deliver me from this plague. He shall deliver me. You know, like I was saying earlier, there's a debate who wrote this scripture, whether it be David or Moses. But I just can't help to think about the fact that when it talks about being delivered from this plague, being delivered from this pestilence, there's no other person in the scriptures that really understand plagues like Moses does. Moses saw frogs leap to the door of the Egyptian Pharaoh. Moses saw water turned into blood. Moses saw children dying. Moses saw people getting boils on their skin. Moses saw these plagues. Moses saw the death angel come to the house of Egypt and destroy the house of Egypt. But can I tell y'all what else Moses saw? Moses saw that the Hebrews that lived in this Egyptian land, he saw those frogs jump right up to that Hebrew doorstep and turn right back around. Moses saw that water that turned into blood for the Egyptians, Moses saw that water stay water for them Hebrews. Can I tell y'all that Moses saw that death angel that killed those children of the Egyptians come right up to the door of the Hebrews and see that blood on the doorposts of the Hebrews and the death angel pass by? Can I tell you that Moses saw deliverance for the people of God? And can I tell you that Moses was setting an example for even us today, that in your situation, when there are other people around you experiencing certain things, because you are covered by the blood of God, God will allow deliverance to be over your house. Somebody say amen. Whew. That should allow you guys to see something. See, some of us live in a fantasy world where everything is all right. You know, some of us live in a place where nothing's wrong. Everything is all good all the time. Everything is peaches and cream. You know, everything is going good all the time. Some of us live in this fantasy world. But there are some of us that look at the things that could have been, that should have been, that would have been, that almost was, and we don't even know how we made it out alive, but some kind of way God has brought you out. We faced great adversity this past year, from a global pandemic to racial injustices to elections to losing loved ones near and dear to us. We faced some hard things, but by the grace of God, you're still standing. We have fought our way through, but by glory be to God, we are still standing. And because you understand what it is to experience deliverance, you can praise God. Why? For I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, somebody say praise, shall continually be in my mouth. The power and the magnitude of the relevance of God's word is so great that even thousands of years later, these words still resonate with us. In our current day, in our current situation, we've been ravished by disease. We've been ravished by this plague called COVID. And these words were written thousands of years ago and are still applicable today. The same God that delivered them from the pestilence, the same God that delivered them from the plague, the same God that can deliver you from this pandemic. He's the same God that can deliver you from whatever sicknesses you're feeling. He's the same God that will deliver you from the fowler. He's the same God that will deliver you from the pestilence. If you believe it, why don't you shout amen? Amen. Because we serve a God that when you dwell in the secret place, he will deliver you. In the text, there's some spiritual things that are very hard to understand, but God breaks it down into metaphors to help our finite minds understand these things. It says that he covers you with his feathers. Go ahead and put that scripture up. He covers you with his feathers, just like a mother bird covers her eggs to keep them warm and protected. She keeps her babies warm. She keeps them protected. Where? Underneath her wings. Well, God is going to cover you with his feathers right underneath her wing. What amazes me is that in the book of Malachi, it says that the Son of Man will rise with healing in his wings. And so as you're sheltered in God, as you're close to him, you are by his healing. And what you're looking for is right where you are. It's right in the secret place. That healing that you're looking for, that deliverance that you're looking for, it's right in your praise, y'all. That healing that you're looking for, that deliverance that you're looking for, it's right in your worship, y'all. That healing that you're looking for, that deliverance that you're looking for, it's right in your prayer, y'all. That healing that you're looking for, that deliverance that you're looking for, it's right in the secret place. Who wants to live in the secret place? You are sheltered by his wings. He'll protect you from all plights of evil. And that's why 1,000 can fall at your left side and 10,000 can fall at your right side and it won't even touch you. It won't come near you. He shall shield you and he will be your shield and your buckler, double protection. From what? The terror that comes by night. From what? The arrow that comes by day. From what? The pestilence that comes during darkness. From what? The destruction that comes in the afternoon. God got your back no matter what time of the day it is. God has your back no matter what time of the day it is. You can count on him. Some of y'all can't call your friends at 2 o'clock in the morning. In some houses, if you call past 8:30 at night, all right. You know something, you're definitely not getting answered. Some of us are early risers. We get up early. But God has your back even in the early wee bits of the morning. And if you're like me, you're a night owl, man, God has your back then. And if you're strong throughout the day, God has your back at that time too. So when the terror comes at night, he's there. And when the arrow comes flying at you in the daytime, he's right there. And when the pestilence comes, when it's dark everywhere, he's standing right there. And when destruction comes right in the middle of the day, God is standing right there. He's got your back. That brings me to my last point, that not only is God our refuge, not only is he our rescuer, but God is our rewarder. God is our rewarder. God is our rewarder. Verse 8 says, you will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You will watch what happens to the wicked, but you won't be in it. You know that you've matured when you can see something happen to your enemy and you don't rejoice in that. That's maturity. When something happens to a person that has been wicked to you and you don't rejoice for them, but you pray for them instead, that's spiritual maturity. How can you know somebody's going to betray you and still have dinner with them? How can you know somebody's going to stab you in your back for a couple pieces of silver and still sit down and have your last meal with them? Ooh, it takes a strong person to do something like that. How can you know that this person is going to cause you pain and anguish and suffering and still give them a chance to make it up to you? Man, that's some spiritual maturity right there. But can I tell you why? It's because you know that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And can I tell you that even our King Jesus, even though he knew Judas would have betrayed him, he knew that he was getting ready to be whipped and tortured and beaten, and everything would have happened to him. Irregardless of that, he was confident in the fact that 3 days later, early on that Sunday morning, that he would rise again. Some of us are worried because of the things that are happening to us. But be confident in the fact that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. We're often tested by these things, but the tests are custom designed specifically for you. But the beauty is that you're sheltered. And in your sheltering, you find that you won't remain weak. You find out your weakness in that shelter. But in that shelter, you find that you won't remain weak. Everyone has a weak spot, and the enemy knows what our weak spots are. But this thing that's testing you, this thorn in your flesh that humbles you and keeps you praying, it keeps you in the secret place. Did you know that? That test keeps you right at the feet of Jesus. And in that area, we can corporately worship. In that area that you find weakness, you can drag that thing right into the secret place of God. You can drag it right in for God to deal with. You can bring that thing that tried to take you out right to the secret place. That thing that tried to slow you down. That trouble child that gives you problems. Lord Jesus. You can bring them right on into the secret place. There's a couple ways you can handle these things. You can drink it away, you can smoke it away, or you can worship and dwell in the secret place and worship that thing away. You can praise that thing away. Doesn't matter how manly you are. It doesn't matter how much arrogance you have. Nothing takes the place of worship. It's the door to the secret place. God will keep hitting a certain area of your life until you stop worrying about your image. He will keep hitting a certain area of your life until you come to the cross. God wants you to come to the secret place. Remember, worship isn't an emotional act. Worship is a spiritual act that provokes emotions. Your worship is not an emotional act. Your worship is a spiritual act that provokes emotions. God begins to talk in verse 14, and God says, put up verse 14, please, because you set your love upon me. God is talking now. Because you have set your love upon me, I will. What, Pastor K? God says, I will. What, Pastor K? God says, I will. What? I will deliver you. You see, these last three verses, God is speaking the promises and blessings over his people. The last words of this Psalms are not spoken by God's people. It is spoken to God's people. You have to set your love upon him. And this love is not just a feeling, it's a choice. You choose to spend time with God. You choose to listen to God. You choose to speak to God. You choose to think of him. You choose to adore him. There are blessings that some of us as believers miss out on simply because we're always worried and we don't trust God. The psalmist quotes God as saying that the blessings are for those who love God, acknowledge his name. And he shall call upon me and I will answer him. God promises the answer to your prayers for those who love him. He says, I will be with him. In the last lines of this psalm, God spoke personal and wonderful blessings over you. Can I tell you guys what those blessings are? Here's the blessings. And I want you to open your heart and receive this. He said, I will be with him in trouble. That's the blessing of his presence. He says, I will deliver him. That's the blessing of his protection. He says, I will honor him. That's the blessing of promotion. He says, with long life will I satisfy him. That's the blessing of prosperity. He says, and I will show him my salvation. That is the blessing of God's preservation. He that dwells in the secret place, as the band comes up, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. Today, some of us have struggled. We've struggled to find this place. We've struggled with our pride. We've struggled with our arrogance. We struggled so many things, but a lot of us have really dealt with hurt and sickness and loss and disease and pestilence and traps. Can I see the hands of those that need deliverance from God this morning, that needs healing from God this morning, that desires to dwell in the secret place of God this morning? Can I see the hands of somebody that is willing to praise God despite who may be looking, despite who may be watching? Can we see those hands? Because God wants to do something for you. In this psalm, he wants to give you refuge. He wants to rescue you. And he wants to reward you. This morning the band's going to play, but I strongly feel that there are some of us that, no matter what area of your life in, I feel like God has been able to speak to you in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status, any of that. Because COVID-19 doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter where you live. Because sickness doesn't discriminate. It don't matter where you went to school. Why? because these traps, they don't discriminate. Everybody in here has a weakness. At some point has had an illness, and in some way, shape, or form have dealt with the effects of this treacherous disease. So today I want to implore you that at some point after we're done worshiping, that you would flood that prayer room today and ask God to be your secret place and to deliver you today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.